Welcome to the Launch University Podcast, turning good intentions into reality in your career, business, and life.
Well, welcome to another Launch University Podcast. Excited today because David and Farmer and I get to talk about South by Southwest, which is a conference we went to out in Austin, Texas. David, start by just kind of giving us an overview of South by Southwest.
Yes, Shane. This is the second year we've actually been. We got back just last week. It is an event that's been going on since 1987 in Austin. It started out really around film and music, but now there's a new component to it, and that's digital interactive technology, and that's really what we focused on. You can go and you're going to have hundreds of different speakers, showcases, screenings, exhibition, and a variety of networking opportunities, which is what we've really kind of jumped on because we were able to prearrange a bunch of just one-on-one meetings with a variety of people, and I would argue that may be where we got the most value.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was really good. So imagine kind of coming into a city with, it felt like about 100,000 people descend upon Austin every year since 1987.
It's crowded, which is why we had to share a little bedroom in an Airbnb house, but we're not going to talk much about that on the podcast.
No, two twin beds. Let's just be clear, two twin beds. But
yeah, that's a good clarification. Thank you.
It was comfortable, to say the least. So, I thought we'd start, David, just kind of with an overview of some of our key takeaways. Again, this is going to be kind of on the fly. We're just going to try this. Imagine what you're looking at here. We got laptops up, we got notes, and we're just kind of, you know, perusing through all the stuff that we learned and some of the takeaways, and we're just going to kind of open up and have a good conversation. So I think both of us are willing to play a little color commentary here, just kind of dive into it. But let's start with some key takeaways. I think we would say we've got about five key takeaways. There's probably many more, but these are the ones that really stuck out to us. The first one being personal brand. The second one being around this idea of what's your pitch. The third being disrupting or being disrupted. The fourth being what's an app. That'll be a fun one to talk about. And then fifth, how are you getting inspired? And so we're going to start right off the top with just this bigger idea of personal brand. And on many levels, we've talked about personal brand in the past. But David, talk about what we learned at South by Southwest.
Yeah, and I would add that some of these themes may be driven by a particular encounter we have. And sometimes it's a combination of content we heard from a lot of different folks. But when you talk about personal brand, I do think a session that we had with Eric Qualman, who has written a lot about social media, that was a really helpful meeting. And he is an expert on social media. You can find books he's written on everything from LinkedIn. He's got one title that we really love, What Happens in Vegas Stays on YouTube.
It's really good.
That's a good book title. And he shared with us about how as leaders, as launchers, as business folks, even just personally, we can use so many of the social media tools that are emerging in a productive way. And just a couple of themes that he hit on, he feels like generally people talk about themselves just way too much. And what folks really want to see is they want to see you celebrate others via your own social media. And I think that can have application whether you're approaching social media as an individual or your brand or product. And we even talk about that. Shane and I are both part of Chick-fil-A, and we talk about how we have to celebrate the customer as a hero, not just celebrate ourselves when we do Chick-fil-A messaging.
He talked about even a simple way to do that, which is for every tweet that you send out or Instagram post that's about yourself or something about your person, think about sending three that are about the customer. Think about sending three that make the customer the hero, so to speak. So almost use this ratio of 3-1. For every one thing you're going to talk about your own brand, talk about other people three of the additional times.
Yep. And, you know, this can have application whether it's via social media or not, but we happen to focus a little bit on social media. He also gave us a word I'd not heard before, and the word was flawsome.
That was great.
Yep, which is obviously a combination of being flawed and awesome all wrapped up in one big package. And he said, people don't want this fake, highly curated version of what your life might look like that doesn't feel real. It's great when you have something cool that's happened or a place you've been or somebody you've met, an experience you've had that you want to celebrate, but you got to keep it real as well.
Yeah, you talked about, you know, this meshing of humility and transparency. Be open to your consumer and your actually your audience about some of your flaws and be open about that. It's not always that picture perfect Instagram post, because
no.
Everybody knows that just isn't true.
Yeah. We all have stuff in our lives. Let's don't be afraid to talk about it. And that actually makes an individual as a leader or a brand feel more approachable and realistic and somebody you kind of want to engage with. He said, take folks behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So open up a little bit. And I think that's true, again, regardless of what kind of channel you're using. But if you're using a social media tool, let them see what's going on in your life or your business behind the scenes.
And there's some great tools to do that. He talked about things like, you know, again, Instagram, Facebook Live is a great new tool to be able to leverage, you know, what's actually going in and behind the scenes when you're, you know, actually innovating on an idea or talking about it. Your customer actually is interested in that. And it kind of shows some of the transparency in your business. I thought that was really good.
Couple other things he referenced. We all have a digital stamp, and he said that's the content that we post about ourselves. But whether you realize it or not, you have a digital shadow, and that's what others are posting about you. And that could be really true about a brand. And those that do it well track the shadow and try to engage in those that are leaving feedback in some sort of meaningful conversation, hopefully a positive conversation.
Mm, it's really good.
And then I'll just close with this. I saw one example of somebody that I thought was quite fascinating that had developed quite a personal brand. I went to a keynote session at South by a lady named Marie Kondo, and I did not know who she was, but I think a lot of people do, especially a lot of women know who she is, because she sold 6.5 million books all about cleaning up. In fact, her topic is really about how you can tidy up to eliminate clutter, and that produces joy. And so,
if you want to know how to roll a shirt,
yes,
you need to read her book.
How to fold your clothes.
How to save space. You can do it.
But what was fascinating, moving beyond the whole content of clutter and how being tidy helps you perform at a different level, I was amazed at what a nice job she had done at building her own brand. She filled up this ballroom with 1,000 people that came to hear her talk about how you fold your clothes.
Mm.
And to sell 6.5 million books, but she'd been very consistent with her message, very approachable, very positive, and it's just sort of taken on a life of its own. So it's just a classic example of how you can do it well.
Well, and two, she kind of lets you behind the curtain, so to speak. I mean,
yeah,
in a way, she's kind of demonstrated this in her own closet.
Yes.
If you think about our personal closet, she's kind of invited you in and literally shown you how she's kind of thinking about, you know, how to clean out clutter and how to fold clothes in her own life. So I thought that was really fascinating.
So that's personal brand. And
yep,
as we've said before, if you've listened to the podcast, we said sometimes it's your personal brand that can make or break your launch, because people, they've got to be able to get comfortable with you before they get comfortable with your product.
So, you know, as we transition and we think about your personal brand, a lot of times we're put into positions where we have to make a pitch, and we have to pitch not only our brand but our company. And so we met with a guy named Evan Baer, who is a good friend. You talk about energy. I mean,
yeah,
Evan may have more energy than I know of anybody. He has been involved in multiple startups. He's also been very involved with raising capital through venture capitalists for a variety of businesses. And so he came in, and we literally just had conversations around how you make a good pitch and what that looks like. He's actually written a book, and it is escaping me right now, the name of the book. But I will get it, and we'll put it into the podcast notes.
We'll look it up in my notes.
All right, look it up. See, this is on the fly kind of stuff. But again, if you look up Evan Baer, you'll find his book and how to make this really good pitch. And he talked about the importance of being very succinct, making your initial offering right up front, how you build out slides, why that's really important. Really, not only the pitch deck, but then the pitch deck may have 25, 30 slides that really talk about your business venture or what you're trying to do. But then there's a presentation deck, which may be 5 slides with big, bold numbers that are attached to that, so that your audience, whether it be a venture capitalist or someone else that's interested in learning more about your business, clearly understands what you're trying to communicate. And it truly is about that art of the moment and taking advantage of the moment.
And the book is actually called Get Backed.
Get Backed. That's what it is.
Craft your story, build the perfect pitch deck, and launch the venture of your dreams.
The power of having a computer in front of you so you can Google it right now.
And OneNote.
And OneNote. That's right. So as he talks about getting backed, as you think about it, this isn't just a principle that a startup needs to know. It literally works for the entrepreneur as well as the intrapreneur. When you think about how you're launching ideas either in an organization or out into the marketplace. And so being very clear about what that idea is, being very clear about how you want to present that idea. And then I think one of the things he iterates is the ask and being bold in the ask, but backing that up with your presentation. So that for us, for me personally, I was reminded of how important people's time is. And when you get in front of a leader, you need to be ready to kind of succinctly share your idea and then cast some vision around that.
And we had a fascinating experience one day where we had arranged what was called a tech date. And we're in kind of our own little hospitality suite that we had, and we had people coming in, and we probably had, I'd say, 5 or 6 different folks lined up to pitch. Think Shark Tank almost. They're coming in to pitch to a group of about 10 folks, and they were on the clock. And they only had—
They literally had a guy right there with a clock, like saying, okay, you got 30 more seconds.
Yeah, I think they had 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And some did a phenomenal job, and some struggled a little bit with the pitch. And even if you have a great idea, if the pitch is not good, it can undermine the whole effort. And so I think we had a chance because we saw 6 people do their pitch real quick. We saw the power of a good pitch.
Yeah, it was really,
it creates
really good
energy and enthusiasm about their idea.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Takeaway number 3 is disrupting or being disrupted. Take us through that, David.
Well, I think South by Southwest is a place where you see a lot of significant disruption coming to fruition. And you have the opportunity to see so many examples of emerging technologies. We saw things like virtual reality. We saw a lot on autonomous driving or cars, the driverless cars. We saw a lot about voice prompt ordering, machine language. Think Amazon Echo. Hey, Alexa, can you do this for me? That kind of thing.
I mean, a ton on data analytics and the sourcing of that data through things like iPhones, social network. I mean, it was that part was pretty impressive as well.
And what I walked away realizing is there are going to be some emerging game-changing technologies. We kind of joke about them now as though they're way off in the future, but they're not that far away. And if you just think about how retail has changed just due to the Amazon effect. And imagine being a retailer that's having a hard time attracting customers into your store because it's just too easy to click one button and have something delivered free to your door. Well, you're going to see a lot of other business disruptions like that. And it can challenge a lot of existing business models. So it could be a significant threat, but it could also be a huge opportunity if you do a good job of understanding not only what those disruptions are, but how they're going to impact daily life as we know it. So it was fascinating. It was almost like we had a peek into what the future might look like.
Yeah, and as you think about that, one of the concepts that I think you're about to talk about as well is this idea of innovation versus iteration. And really, when we talk about disrupting, you constantly need to be thinking about innovation. And can you speak to that just a little bit more?
Yeah, I like to think of innovation work as kind of like a portfolio. Think about an investment portfolio. You might have some percentage of stocks, some percentage of fixed income. Some of it is domestic, some of it's international. So when you think about innovation, you need a little bit of a diverse portfolio as well. And some of it might be lower risk innovation, which one of the speakers that we spent time with called iteration. It's iterative. But you need some big bet stuff in the portfolio as well. Totally disruptive stuff. You almost need to play a game where you imagine what if you were the outside entity that was coming in with a fresh clean of paper. How would you disrupt business as you know it today? And then maybe you need to make that bet yourself. But it creates enormous opportunity if you're a launcher and you're looking for an opportunity to really have a breakthrough idea. So continuous improvement is good, but you need some big bets as well.
One of the things that we heard from Geraldo Mazzeo, I think is his name. He was from Nestle Corp. He talked about the social vetting of innovations. And I was very intrigued by that because as you are thinking about bigger things to do, one of the things, as I recall, David, he talked about was literally using social networks to create these channels where you could engage with your customer or people that might be interested in helping you innovate. And they've got this creative funding mechanism for doing that. I believe what it was is if your innovation wins out, you get like $50,000 to take that idea and build on it, plus a team of people from Nestle to actually help you doing that. Now, granted, Nestle's a huge multi-billion dollar company, but in your space, what are you doing to engage ultimately your customer into the process of innovating based on things they're looking for that they need?
I think what Nestle is saying is even though we're huge and we do have a lot of resources, we don't have all the resources we might need to do something really meaningful. And hence, you're seeing open innovation where you invite other people to play a role in the process. That's becoming increasingly popular.
Yeah, really good. All right. So personal brand, what's your pitch? Being disrupted or disrupting? And then what's an app? And so kind of a funny way to ask a question here, but this was very challenging for me, specifically doing what I do in the work that I do with Chick-fil-A oftentimes is helping think about where's the digital experience headed. But a gentleman by the name of Ben Lamb, who's actually the CEO of a company called Conversable, started out his session with this statement. In 5 years, people are going to ask this question, what's an app? And essentially what he was saying is apps will be non-existent in less than 5 years. And I mean, I'm looking around like, are you kidding me? I mean, I use an app for just about everything. His premise was is that you're going to begin to do more and more things through these social platforms. Think about leveraging Facebook to actually do your shopping. Think about leveraging Instagram. If you're hungry for a pizza, you just hit a button and it's there. And all of this happens through these things called purchasing or buying bots, these ordering bots. These bots are literally almost what we would call artificial intelligence or this background within a platform to allow you to simplify the ordering process. And so where his company is helping take brands is leveraging this new technology around AI bots to be able to order specific things within an app. So if you want something and you're interested in that, you stay within your social media platform and then you order it straight from there. Well, think about what that may mean for what you're currently doing in your space. When we think about at least our world within Chick-fil-A, I mean, that's a game changer. That's going to mean that we're going to have to iterate and innovate very quickly as we think about where the future of apps are going. We actually have an app that we spent a couple years developing. What happens when that goes away? And so I do think this is kind of what I love about South by Southwest is it reminds you of where the future may be headed and how quickly we may be getting there. And so in this space specifically, he just talked about, you know, how do you continue to have a conversation with your customer? Well, the best way to do that is to get in the world that they're leveraging the most. And so these social platforms are where our customers are, and they're going to refuse to jump over to what you would deem is the best platform, i.e. your app, and they're going to stay engaged with brands that are coming to them versus forcing them to come to us.
So one of the things I sense in all that, Shane, is that a lot of the lines are blurring. And let me illustrate by this. We used to think of Amazon as the place we get books, but the lines blurred. And now Amazon is the place you can get just about anything. And we tended to think of that meaning a physical good. But now it's the place where I can get music or I get some other form of entertainment content or they want to deliver food or it just the lines blur. And you're seeing that with other technologies as well. Something that was a social media technology like Facebook may become a means to order something that you're wanting to purchase. And we just need to recognize that some of this disruptive technology does not honor existing boundaries. And so if you're thinking that those boundaries are going to last forever and they can, they're going to protect your business. That might be flawed thinking.
Amen. And so in that vein and kind of carrying on the conversation, our last takeaway is, how are you getting inspired? And I think what I like most about South by Southwest is you've really got this mashup of innovative thinkers, of entrepreneurs, of literally global leaders who kind of descend upon the city of Austin, and you can find yourself in these really creative conversations about not only about the future, but how does that pertain to your business? And then it just gives you some time to think. And so I walked away with like, okay, what am I doing to intentionally be inspired? And one of my biggest inspirations at South by Southwest was a talk given by Jessica Matthews, and it was a small room. I mean, there was about 35 people in there, but she could have spoken. It felt like she was speaking to about 5,000 people. A little back history, and I would encourage you to look her up. But Jessica Matthews invented this thing called the socket ball. She started a company called Uncharted Play. And really, when she was 19 years old, this is, blows me away. When she was 19 years old, she saw a need in third world countries to provide power at night for these children to be able to read. And she thought to herself, what would have to happen in order for me to, you know, create a way for them to read at night? And she said, well, the main thing you need is light. And she thought, well, we could go down there and we could provide these little solar panels, but is that really going to work? You got to have the infrastructure to be able to do that. And so she, just in her own thinking, she thought about, you know, what is it these kids really like to do during the day? Well, they like to play. What could they play with? Well, they could play with a soccer ball. Soccer is an international sport. Soccer would be very popular. So she goes, think about this. She takes a soccer ball. She walks over to Radio Shack with a couple friends and goes, is there any way we could create something at 19 years old, let me remind you, and create the technology to where when you kick this ball, it created energy within the ball, and then you just stick a light in the top of it at night, and it fuels a light for about 3 or 4 hours for a child to be able to, you know, read their homework. And she just kind of took this idea and ran with it. And just to fast forward, she's now roughly 29 years old. She just went and did some venture capitalist work and raised over $1.7 million for the next stage of products. She's on track to create a business of about $260 million through a variety of toys and implements that are going to, you know, literally self-generate power. And I think what inspired me most about that was, here you had somebody that identified a problem or a challenge, and it was a social challenge, but she just said, you know what, I'm going to work on it. I'm just going to spend a little bit more time than other people kind of thinking about this and going after it. And example after example, you run into at South by Southwest of people that have said, here's a problem, either a consumer has or a social challenge, and I'm going to spend some time thinking about that. And so, David, for me, I walked away, again, a huge fan of Jessica Matthews, but a bigger fan of what it is we can do individually when we just hit the pause button and go, okay, what's the problem we're trying to solve, and are we breaking down those walls to think creatively on how to solve it?
That's good. Well, I would challenge our listeners. You don't have to go to South by Southwest to get inspired. It's a great place to go if you do, and you better plan ahead early if you do, if you want a good place to stay and you want to get in. But you got to find your South by Southwest. You got to find some place where you're going to interact with people you don't normally have a chance to meet, see, talk to, hear from. You've got to read some stuff that's not normally on your reading list. You've just got to have some means of challenging status quo in your life. I decided walking out of there that there were a few technologies that I wanted to experiment with. I didn't have an Amazon Echo as a little practical example. So I not only bought one for myself, I bought one for everybody on my team and said, guys, lean into this. I want you to figure out, I want you to experiment with voice commands because I think that's going to be something we're going to see a lot more going forward. I also realized I'm not doing enough with virtual reality. Mm-hmm. And we saw a lot of that, Shane. So, you know, you go get one of the headsets that you can buy and attach to your phone and just start consuming some VR content. Because I want to try to understand where this thing's going and how it can change the way we do, even something like training we mm-hmm. talked about as an example.
Well, and I walked away personally kind of excited about what the Facebook platform could do for me in really internalizing information. There are so many feeds out there, and for most of you, you're probably leveraging that technology. I'm the one that's behind. But as I think about how I'm ingesting really new ideas and thoughts, Facebook for me has become less of a catching up with the social network and more around what are those companies that I want to learn from and what are those ideas that are out there that I need to explore. And so I think we would all say we continue to be on this journey together. We're grateful that you're listening to this podcast, and because at the end of the day, we're all launchers.
Yep.
And we're all trying to launch something. And so this is really in place for us to kind of bridge those gaps of understanding and learning and experiences so that we can be difference makers. I mean, that's the whole idea. And so appreciate you guys kind of listening in. I'm glad we got a chance to debrief, Dave. This has been great for me and hopefully for you, and hopefully most important for you, the audience. And we're excited that you're continuing to engage with Launch University. And we'll see you the next time we get together.
Thanks, Shane.
Thanks for listening to the Launch University podcast. We hope it's helped move you from go-getter to difference maker. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. Find more great resources at launchu.net.